Manuscript Releases, Volume 19, Mr. Number 1368, Encouragement in the Face of Disappointment and Depression, Audio. I received and read your letter, and would say to you, let nothing depress you. It will not pay to allow yourself to become cast down. Satan is pleased when he can work his will in this respect. You are to look to the one who has never failed you, who will never leave you. You need not be discouraged. Notwithstanding, there may be many things of a discouraging nature to meet right among professed believers. Strange things will be revealed, but we are warned in the Word of God that thus it will be. The Lord has made some remarkable revelations regarding the experiences that His people will pass through, and we have reason to wonder that we have been so well protected thus far from the plottings of the enemy, and that His schemes against us have been to such a large degree unsuccessful. Let us gather to our souls the sure encouragements the Lord has given, and read often the precious promises of His Word. Christ is our Mediator and our Redeemer. Read in the 35th chapter of Isaiah the precious promises for the future. The prophet says, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice, and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly, and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees." Verses 1-3. We are given a special message to bear in times of depression and discouragement. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, "Be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water." Verses 4-7. Please read the whole of this chapter with the 50th. When you are disappointed because of the spiritual lack you see in the churches and in individuals, read these promising words of inspiration. They are given for the encouragement of our churches and are to be claimed in times of emergency. When you meet with those who are not willing to be helped and strengthened, do not allow yourself to become discouraged. When you find halting and disaffection among the believers, let your faith be strong in God, whom in the past you have proved to be true. I have been shown that evil angels in the form of believers will work in our ranks to bring in a strong spirit of unbelief. Let not even this discourage you, but bring a true heart to the help of the Lord against the powers of satanic agencies. These powers of evil will assemble in our meetings, not to receive a blessing, but to counterwork the influences of the Spirit of God. Take up no remark that they may make, but repeat the rich promises of God, which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. We are never to catch up the words that human lips may speak to confirm the evil angels in their work, but we should repeat the words of Christ. Christ was the instructor in the assemblies of these angels before they fell from their high estate, and He came to our world to save the souls who through Satan's temptations had come under the jurisdiction of the powers of evil. It is time now that every soul who has a knowledge of present truth come into line and renew his consecration to God. We are to come up to a much higher standard. When there come into our meetings strange spirits, let us not, whatever may be their testimony, repeat their words, but let us repeat the encouraging words that the Lord has given to us. Let us make His word our strong testimony. We are to learn to lean upon His sure promise, and be ready to communicate our encouragement to others. Let us take hold of the mighty assurances that God has given us in Christ and in His word, and endeavor daily to carry on the work that the Redeemer undertook in behalf of humanity. In the life and death of Christ, we can see what sacrifice heaven was willing to make that we might not perish but have everlasting life. Brother and Sister Haskell, we have a wonderful work to do, and we will not find strength for this work in cherishing feelings of dejection. We are to cling to the only power that can make us overcomers in this life and give us the right to claim the overcomer's reward. For a few days I have been suffering greatly with pain in my left eye, and at first I thought it impossible to write this letter to you. I have been afflicted also with influenza, but in spite of this I have kept at work. My pen has been in my hand much of my waking hours. Last night before retiring I took a warm foot bath and spent a comfortable night, but my mind was burdened for hours. In my sleep I seemed to be speaking before large congregations in Oakland and other places. I was reading to them the words found in the 40th and 41st chapters of Isaiah, and dwelling upon their significance. The Spirit of the Lord seemed to come upon me in large measure. I knew that holy angels were in the meeting. Although some in the congregation seemed to be indifferent to the words spoken, there were others who were making an effort to be free in Christ. The faces of these were lighted up. The Lord was in our midst. A great work will be accomplished by the people of God if they will work in unity and unselfishness and with humility of heart. All self-exaltation must be seen and put away. Truth and righteousness alone will stand the test for this time. We need to have the Spirit of God daily with us, that we may be kept from all evil thoughts and unwise actions, from lifting the soul unto vanity. We should fear lest our eyes become blinded to our individual spiritual needs in these perilous times. Many professed believers have been allowing themselves to become absorbed in the upbuilding of selfish interests. We are now to awake out of sleep, Romans 13 verse 11. I am pleading earnestly with God in my own behalf that He will give me physical strength to bear my testimony. I am praying that my eyesight may be preserved, that I may continue to use my pen in giving the warning message to our people. I would plead with our churches to watch unto prayer, lest they fall under the deceptive arts of Satan. Watch, watch lest the enemy obtain a hold upon your souls. Satan is playing the game of life for every soul, and those who are unguarded will be caught in his snares. These may be men in official positions. They may be ministers of the gospel. They may be physicians in our sanitariums who have not a true sense of their responsibilities and who are letting precious opportunities slip by unimproved, by which they might speak a word in season to souls who need it. I speak to the men in responsible positions, warning you of the dangers of negligence. Bear in mind that Satan is playing the game of life for your souls. Holy and perfect trust in the Lord is your only safeguard. Satan is working through agencies that you little suspect. Ministers of the gospel, Satan is watching for your souls. Some will fall suddenly who have long been tested and tried, but who are unprepared to close up their earthly account with joy. Let our ministering brethren keep their souls guardedly. Those who claim to be children of God should keep the heart with all diligence, guarding every point of attack, lest Satan take us unawares. Temptations will come to every soul.